Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Bike Craft Holiday Gift Fair, December 6th and 7th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Bike Farm, 1810 Northeast 1st Avenue in Portland. Now in its 10th year, the Bike Craft Holiday Gift Fair is a Portland holiday tradition that combines the love of bikes with support for unique, local, handmade goods. It's a great opportunity to grab a unique holiday gift for the bike lovers on your list while connecting with the Portland bike community. Again, Bike Craft Holiday Gift Fair runs from December 6th to 7th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Bike Farm, 1810 Northeast 1st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Shadows of Liberty Screening and Media Reform Action Tour, Friday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at the Oregon Labor Center in Portland. The documentary film Shadows of Liberty reveal insider accounts of a broken media system with renowned journalists, activists, and academics, including Amy Goodman, Danny Glover, Julian Assange, Norman Solomon, Chris Hedges, and more. This film champions the idea of an independent media where truth and integrity are the norm, not the exception. Again, that's the Shadows of Liberty Screening and Media Reform Action Tour, Friday, December 12th, 7 p.m. at the Oregon Labor Center, 3645 Southeast 32nd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, a new Department of Justice report highlights the use of excessive force by police in Cleveland.
The Food and Drug Administration reconsiders a ban on blood donation from gay men.
And demonstrators in Portland protest the failure to indict the officer who choked and killed Eric Garner.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, December 5th, 2014. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd love to have you take a moment to become a new member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Linda Olson-Osterlund.
And I'm Liam Delta. Hundreds of demonstrators marched through Portland last night demanding justice for Eric Garner. The protest came in response to the news that a grand jury did not indict the police officer who killed Garner with an illegal chokehold, despite the fact that the incident was caught on camera. Protests occurred simultaneously at the Justice Center and at the North Portland Police Precinct, marching south on MLK Boulevard and east across the river, converging at the Rose Quarter. A public forum on police violence in the black community also occurred in conjunction with the rally at the North Portland Precinct, featuring community leaders and drawing more than 100 attendees. KBOO reporter Meredith Cox talked with demonstrator James Macaro.
I can't breathe. As a father, a black man, an American, a human being, it's really time for everyone to wake up and realize that police brutality has to go checked. I mean, corporate America uses police to basically enslave Americans. And when you see an unarmed man, a father of six, who's choked out on a video camera and there's basically no justice, then what does the Constitution stand for? Basically. So I'm here not only to express my rights as a black man, but also to express my rights as a human being. And I'm tired because of my skin of being last person to get hired. I'm undereducated. My species of being, we're underpaid, we're underhoused. The only thing that we're black men are abundance of are incarceration or brutality by police. And it's time for everyone to realize that it has to stop. And that's why I'm here.
And what's your name?
James Musgrove.
Great. And did you start marching downtown or up?
Yeah, well, basically my son and I were downtown with four other people, and we walked and we couldn't find the protest. Okay. And so then we hopped on the MAX and came over here and we found it. And my son was so glad because we did not give up. And so my son is doing it because his life matters. I mean, if you look at my son's shirt, life was too short, gone in 2 seconds. A 12-year-old's life who was snuffed out in 2 seconds by a police officer, that's too short. And that needs to be checked.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm here.
That was KBOO's Meredith Cox speaking to James Musgrove. The protesters marched from MLK Boulevard to the Rose Quarter, where about 500 demonstrators gathered after the Blazers game. Protesters gave speeches and shouted, "No justice, no peace," and "Black Lives Matter," as over 30 police officers in riot gear surrounded the rally and blocked entrances into the Moda Center. Two groups, one beginning at the North Portland Police Station and the other at the Justice Center in downtown Portland, marched in the streets, held up traffic, and were monitored by police on bicycles. The groups met at MLK and Holiday and together marched toward the Moda Center. As protesters gathered at the south exit, police put the Moda Center on lockdown, limiting access into and out of the building. As the Blazers game ended, police let fans out through a narrow corridor. In solidarity, many fans held up their hands while exiting the stadium. No arrests were made.
The controversy surrounding Eric Gardner's death in New York has led some longtime Portlanders to recall a similar incident that took place here in Portland nearly 30 years ago. In 1985, Lloyd Tony Stevenson, a 31-year-old black father of five, died when he was put in a chokehold by a white male police officer. Similar to the grand jury's decision on the Garner case, the officer who killed Stevenson was never charged with murder or any crime. On the way home from work, Stevenson was playing video games at a local 7-Eleven located on Northeast 3rd and Widler Street. A customer who had shoplifted some items fled the store. Stevenson assisted the two store clerks in the incident, but afterwards got into an argument with a witness at the scene. When the police arrived, an officer refused to listen to the witnesses and put Stevenson in a sleeper hold that sent him into cardiac arrest. The officer did not provide CPR to Stevenson, who was pronounced dead as he arrived at the hospital. Both Tony Stevenson in 1985 and Eric Gardner in 2014 were not in possession of any weapon, nor did they resist arrest. The memory of that incident in relation to Eric Garner's death has led some Portlanders to wonder if anything has changed over the past 30 years in the way that police treat people of color.
As protests continue to expand in cities across the country this week to challenge excessive police violence and racism, a new Justice Department report has brought into focus the excessive violence of the Cleveland Police Department. Cleveland is just the latest police department to come under scrutiny from the Justice Department. Deb Klein of Cleveland Jobs with Justice spoke with the Working Families Radio Network about the situation in Cleveland.
You know, we just, in the last few weeks, had the shooting of Tamir Rice, the 12-year-old who was gunned down by the Cleveland City Police. But I think the most alarming of all is the fact that the Attorney General was just in here and released a report yesterday that did say that our Cleveland City Police is guilty of using excessive force. The most alarming part of all of this is that this investigation has been done and had been done and finished before this latest incident with Tamir Rice. Again, Tamir was a 12-year-old who was in one of our local parks and pretty close to where I live with an air gun that didn't have the orange tip on it, and he was walking around waving the air gun, and the police just drove up, opened up the car door, and shot him down. Dead. And so this report that was just released was done before this incident, and the Justice Department has said that the city police use excessive force, they need to reevaluate what they're doing, and they're going to be under the watch of the Department of Justice here in Cleveland. And that's what a lot of our citizens, and we've been saying all along. This comes on the heels of 2 years ago of what we call around in this area the 137 shots, where two people were gunned down inside a car by the police on the east side of the city. So it's kind of tragic for everyone involved.
That it is. I still can't believe that a police officer would literally shoot a 12-year-old boy without any questioning the situation. I mean, I wouldn't have thought a 12-year-old boy would be running around in a park with an actual gun trying to, like, harm anyone. I would assume that it's a toy gun, but I would have probably felt the situation out first rather than just acting.
Well, and even by their own admission, when they did the news conference and they released the video, and the one thing that I do have to give them credit, they released the video after talking to the family within days, rather than, you know, in some other areas. Like, I know we talked a lot about the John Crawford down in Beaver Creek. It took quite a while for them to release all the videos out of the Walmart down there. But they did this within days. I think it was only 3 or 4 days later after this happened. And by their own admission, they said that the whole thing took 1.5 seconds. From
what?
The time that the police cruiser pulled in, opened the door, and he was down. 1.5 seconds. So there was no opening the door, put your hands up, nothing. 1.5 seconds from the time the door was opened and he was shot.
So you skip everything you were taught and you learn and just shoot a 12-year-old kid.
Well, it sounds like he maybe didn't learn that, though. It sounds like this is a systematic problem.
It is. Well, the Department of Justice has just reaffirmed that and said that they use excessive force, and they've had instances, and according to one of the articles that I've read, where there was a man that they had in custody and in the middle of a medical emergency on a gurney where they used a taser on him, And that's why this community has been up in arms, and especially since the Tamir shooting. I mean, this has to stop. And now the Department of Justice is also saying it has to stop.
We're definitely going to keep our eyes on just kind of what's going on with this, especially in relationship with everything else that's kind of happening right now in the country. That was Deb Klein of the Cleveland Jobs of Justice. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
Two cities that recently experienced rampage shootings are responding in very different ways to the incidents. In Tampa, a recent shooting at Florida State University has led to calls for concealed handguns to be allowed on college campuses. The effort is being led by one of three people who were wounded in the attack. In Los Angeles, however, city officials are trying a different approach following a recent shooting in which three women were killed. The county has approved court-ordered intensive outpatient treatment for people with serious mental illness. This is part of the implementation of Laura's Law, which is named after one of the victims of a 2003 rampage shooting in the city, in which a mental health patient shot people at the clinic. The more recent Los Angeles rampage shooting was carried out by a mentally ill man with a misogynistic bent who was intent on killing women in revenge for perceived slights by women in his past. That rampage killing led to a campaign on Twitter called Yes, All Women, aimed at bringing attention to the underlying misogyny that is present throughout our culture. In the more recent Florida State rampage shooting, the perpetrator was a graduate of the school who showed up at the library and began shooting students. Three people were injured, and the shooter was attempting to reload his gun when police arrived and killed him with more than 20 rounds of bullets. The shooter in this case was also suffering from mental illness and believed that the government had organized a conspiracy to target him. The National Rifle Association in Florida has led a campaign to allow more guns on campus with the logic that, quote, the best response to a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, end quote. The Los Angeles County approach, however, is to intervene in mental health crises before they reach the point of a shooting rampage. Supporters of Laura's Law in California also point out that federal statistics show marked increases in gun violence in places with less restrictive gun control laws.
KBOO volunteers bring you this locally produced newscast every evening. Now we ask you to do the same. Joining us now are Jamie and Ken to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
That's right. You've been listening to our volunteer-produced, volunteer-researched, written, and read evening news, and you're in the middle of KBOO's mini membership drive, our second day of our 3-day holiday membership drive. So we want you to go to your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 to become a KBOO member. Or if you can make a secure you'd like to make a secure donation online at kboo.fm. I'm Jamie. I'm a volunteer programmer here at KBOO's Labor Radio, and also a news reporter at times. And I'm joined here by Ken, another volunteer, and we're thrilled to be on the locally produced KBOO Evening News this evening to share with you why it's important to support KBOO right now.
And I should talk, Jamie, a little bit about what this mini drive is, because it's certainly new for me and I think for our listeners. Basically, it's a 3-day membership drive, not the usual 10-day, 2-week one that goes on for quite a while. This is just 3 days. We want to do it at the end of the year because people are starting to think about giving and even tax deductions. So kind of the charitable part and the all business part all put together into one. What is special about this 3-day period is that if you are not currently a KBOO member and you become a new member during today, tomorrow, during this 3-day period, it will be matched dollar for dollar, penny for penny, by a special donation. So whatever you give is doubled. And if you're currently a member and you renew and increase your gift, even just a little, or it's a monthly payment, a one-time fee, that will also be doubled. So to do that, just give us a call, 877-500-5266. Go online at kboo.fm. Again, you're listening to the PM News. We'll get back to them in a few seconds here with Liam and Linda. Just want to let you know, the news, you're going to hear stories that you won't hear anywhere else. We have coverage here of international stories, local stories, U.S. stories, again, that you won't hear in the local broadcast. Keep that coming. We have this powerful 2-hour slot every weekday afternoon from 4 to 6, Amy Goodman from 4 to 5, and our volunteer newscast from 5 to 6. So keep it going. Again, give us a call, 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
For the past 31 years, the FDA has upheld a ban on blood donations for men who have sex with other men. This week, the FDA held a 2-day meeting to consider lifting the lifelong ban initially imposed at the start of the AIDS epidemic in the 70s, which hit the gay community the hardest. The American Medical Association, American Red Cross, America's Blood Centers, the American Association of Blood Banks, and the American Plasma Users Coalition have all stated that a lifelong ban is no longer scientifically necessary. Due to medical advances, HIV can be detected in the blood within 9 days after initial infection. An advisory panel for the Human Health and Services has also recently concluded a lifelong ban is no longer necessary and instead recommends a 1-year deferral period. The deferral period, which mirrors current policy in Australia, Britain, and Japan, would impose a 1-year waiting period beginning from the last time a man had sex with another man. Ryan James Yasek, founder of the National Gay Blood Drive, is happy to see attention being given to an issue that has been overlooked for so many years. However, he hopes the FDA would take a more progressive stance than the 1-year deferral period that better reflects today's science. Advocates like Yasek question whether a 1-year deferral period is sufficient, given the deferral essentially requests for gay men to be celibate for a year before being allowed to give blood. To some, this does not seem realistic. Other advocates argue change must begin somewhere, and the lift on the lifelong ban would be a good place to start.
A Portland State University biology professor has uncovered a drug that may lead to long-term treatment of HIV. Professor Ken Steadman and his team discovered the molecule in volcanic hot springs in Japan. The discovery might lead to HIV treatment drugs that could disturb the virus's structure, making it difficult for the HIV organism to mutate and adapt. A drug aimed at distorting the HIV virus would make it more vulnerable to other forms of treatment. Stedman has been searching for an adequate virus to counteract the effects of AIDS for 18 years, and he believes that he may have finally found it.
The U.S. Supreme Court began hearings this week from 42-year-old Peggy Young, who is suing her former employee, UPS, for pregnancy discrimination. Young says UPS did not accommodate her request for a doctor-prescribed light-duty assignment while pregnant. UPS does allow for temporary light-duty assignment under the Americans with Disabilities Act or for work-related injuries. However, it categorizes pregnancy as an off-the-job injury and therefore claims it has no responsibility in accommodating light-duty requests. Instead, the shipping company claimed that pregnant, Young was a liability and forced her to take unpaid leave for the last 6.5 months of her pregnancy. The U.S. remains the only developed country in the world not to guarantee paid maternity or parental leave to its workers. In comparison, the United Kingdom guarantees 39 paid weeks, two of which are mandatory. Mexico guarantees 12 weeks at 100% salary, and Canada guarantees one full year. As the case goes to the Supreme Court, many fear the decision will not end in Young's favor, citing recent decisions from this court in favoring employers' rights over women's rights. The decision for Young versus UPS is expected to be announced next spring.
Three Oregon land conservation projects face an uncertain future with federal budget cuts on the horizon. The projects currently protect thousands of acres of land from development. The Land and Water Conservation Fund's Forest Legacy Program is meant to fund such projects, but only if Congress budgets more funding for the program. Landowners are allowed under the program to sell parcels of their property for conservation. The fund was enacted to receive $900 million each year from oil and gas revenues. The Forest Legacy Program received $50 million of the amount collected last year, but it was only able to fund half the forest legacy projects proposed. If the Land and Water Conservation Fund is renewed by Congress, each of the three Oregon proposals will have a chance to receive funding. The proposal is on its way to Washington, D.C. now, where it faces an uphill battle with a Republican majority in the House and the Senate.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or really become a new member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Bread and Roses at 6. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow's weather is a chance of storms with a high of 52. Sunday we'll see rain and a high of 50. On December 5th, 1933, prohibition of alcohol in the United States ended, with Utah becoming the 36th state to ratify the 21st Amendment of the Constitution. And on this day in 1955, the American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations merged to form the AFL-CIO, now the largest federation of unions in the United States. The quote of the day comes from the French philosopher Voltaire, who wrote, quote, "God is a comedian playing to an audience that is too afraid to laugh," end quote.
And now it's 5:24, time for daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
Do you or anyone really need a book of rules and a 3-hour briefing on ethics in order to do your job ethically? If you're a Congress critter, apparently so, for that's what newly elected members of the new Congress that'll convene in January have just received. Nearly all of the newcomers rode to victory on a tsunami of inherently corrupting corporate cash, but now they're being instructed in a crash course on Capitol Hill ethics, not learning how to be ethical, but how to avoid ending up being investigated, indicted, or in jail. You see, in the rarefied air of Washington, one can be blatantly unethical as long as your behavior has not technically been declared illegal. It's a fine line, so this latest class of special interest lawmakers were eager learners. But in practice, actually crossing that line is no barrier to congressional service. GOP Representative Michael Grimm of Staten Island, for example, is back in Congress, even though he was caught on tape threatening to throw a reporter off a balcony. The appropriately named Grimm is also under indictment for 20 counts of accounting fraud. Errant Democrats can continue in office, too. Take Charlie Rangel of New York, who's been formally censured by Congress for a mess of ethics violations, but rather than going to the big house, Rangel is back in the House of Representatives, reelected on November 4th with no Republican opposition. This is Jim Hightower saying there's now a bipartisan move in the House to require annual ethics training for every lawmaker, claiming that this will enhance the public reputation of each member and of Congress itself. Dream on! Who do they think they're kidding? As Lyndon Johnson put it, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken manure. If these so-called adults did not absorb basic ethics from their kindergarten teachers, they sure won't learn anything to improve their morality in a congressional classroom.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
Really can't. We're
going
to have to reverse this.
You're listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. And now it's your turn. Joining us are Jamie and Ken to talk about how you can support KBOO.
Oh, thanks, Liam. This is Ken, and I'm here with my partner, Jamie, as Liam mentioned. We're here in Membership Drive Central, and this is our special 3-day winter mini membership drive. Just to explain it, in case you're just tuning in or haven't heard us explaining it a little earlier in the day, the membership drive is a little different than past ones. This one is just 3 days. Coming at the end of the year to pick up on tax breaks that you can get for giving, and also that feeling of giving, especially to things that you enjoy all throughout the year, like KBOO News, Democracy Now!, and basically all the programming at KBOO that you listen to. 877-500-5266 is the number. Ian, who was our board op today, told me I think it works because I would do the same thing. If you have a smartphone, a cell phone, take it out now, even if you don't have the time to call us right now and pledge. Key in the number, 877-500-5266, or you can go online at kboo.fm. I'd like to, before I send it over to Jamie here, I'd like to thank Leslie. She renewed. She's in Portland. Leslie, thank you very much. And also, we'd like to thank the people who are fueling the volunteers here, taking your calls, Michelle, Ian, Jean, and Archer. That's Thai Champa Restaurant at 910 East Burnside, which is just a few blocks away from KBOO. They serve Thai food. They're open at 11 a.m. every day. If you go to Thai Champa and you're in the neighborhood, drop by and see us. We're at 20 Southeast 8th. We'd love to see you. We can show you around the station. You can see where your money's going if you are a member. And, Jamie, there are some pretty good thank you gifts, too, I think.
That's right, Ken. We have, for particularly the listeners of the news, we have for a $60 minimum donation, a one-year subscription to Yes Magazine, which is an award-winning and free nonprofit publication that supports people's active engagement in building a just and sustainable world. That's the kind of people who listen to KBOO. And for a special $240 minimum pledge, that's only $20 a month, we have a black hoodie with the KBOO logo on it. This black zip-up hoodie features new artwork on the left chest that is 6 inches high. So if you want to advertise your affiliation, your loyalty, your participation as a KBOO member, and you're ready to bump up your current pledge from whatever it is to $20 a month, call us now at 877-500-5266 or go online and make a secure pledge at 877-500-5266. But if you want that hoodie, you're going to have to call us.
That's
and let
actually,
us know.
Jamie, that's one of the nicest thank you gifts I've seen in a long time. There's a picture. It doesn't do it justice. It's actually a drawing of the hoodie on the KBOO site if you go there, kboo.fm. But it's a lot of people have been looking into it and calling us about pledging and getting it. There's also, I think if you pledge today or yesterday or tomorrow, you get entered into a drawing to win a hoodie.
Uh-huh.
That's a little more difficult way of getting it. You know, it's more of a lottery approach. Or you can get it outright by pledging $20 a month, certainly for the next year. And that hoodie, you walk into any coffee shop in Portland wearing that hoodie and all eyes will turn.
That's right.
You know,
that's
hippest right. person in the place.
You know, Ken, we're trying to get 100 new members in these in this three-day drive. And so we're, I think, halfway there today, our goal of about 33. And so we want 15 more of you to, those who haven't stepped forward before, those who have been listeners but haven't made the move to become a spectator, to become members. You know, democracy is not a spectator sport. KBOO is not a spectator sport. You should pay to play. And remember the old saying, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So come on, be part of the solution. Become part of KBOO.
Or as Jim Hightower says, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken manure. So I love his spot. Anyway, give us a call, 877-500-5266. I apologize.